First of all, at one of Sweden's major music festivals in 2017, there were four rapes and 23 sexual assaults reported. The women, trans and non-binary only rule claimed to be an antidote to the sexual violence that has become prevalent at these music festivals. Do you think this is a fair response?
Look, I think I'm not surprised it happened in Sweden. Sweden, along with Norway and Iceland, are very gender-sensitive countries, and they were looking at the issue that sexual assault and harassment does happen in music festivals and also happens in live music venues. And this happened a few months before the whole outbreak of the Me Too campaign in October 2017. And a month later, after the Me Too, Sweden again came forward, and more than 2,000 women from the music industry turned around and said, well, there's a Me Too campaign for film, but what about the music industry itself? And they signed a form in rebellion against the sexual harassment and misogyny that they felt in their music industry. So Sweden has always been at the forefront for these issues, and I think when I read about this female or gender-specific festival, I thought it was a good idea. I mean, but there's one thing we have to notice about this whole thing about discrimination, and it's really come out with the Me Too campaign and was really highlighted by a well-known feminist scholar from the University of California, Judith Butler. She said after the Me Too broke, you know, nearly more than a year ago now, she said there is a difference between discrimination against women and discrimination against gender. If you understand where I'm coming from, Alex. Mm-hmm. Therefore, this whole thing about it became a very cloudy issue with the whole music festival in Sweden, because it wasn't necessarily about women, it was gender. Because a lot of research have come out post the Me Too campaign that the transgender and the non-binary people have had more issues with sexual harassment and discrimination than other people. So really, it was quite interesting to think about this. Discrimination against gender is a very cloudy issue, and I'm not surprised it went and it was actually rebelled against from men, because the Me Too campaign also showed there is discrimination against women, but there's also discrimination against men. But also, I know when it went to the legal framework within Sweden, the whole notion of gender is very fluid, and it's very difficult to define.
Mm. So what other measures do you think could be taken to make festivals safer?
Well, they already have some of these safeguards in place internationally and locally. I know, for example, in Melbourne, they have a specific, for example, idea that's in venues now called Dial an Angel, that you can have. There's some women in venues that you can go to if you feel as if you're being harassed by a fellow punter, etc., and they're there for safety. There's also other security measures that some of the security guards at festivals and venues are females. There's also tents at festivals that can go to actually, you know, to express your complaint. So there's a very physical measures. But also, I think, you know, there's an innate sexism and misogyny that happens in our society, and the Me Too campaign has brought them out. So really, it goes back to the behaviour of men. And I think this is where the peer group pressure is really important too, which is a very sublime and difficult thing, intangible thing to hold on to. But if one bloke sees another guy, I'd say, harassing a woman, that bloke should turn around and say, hey, mate, that's not cool. You know. So therefore, there's two levels there. There is a practical framework for support with women. But also with men, I think this whole notion of assessing their behaviour and acknowledging some aspects of behaviour is not cool. And I think the Me Too campaign has really highlighted something that we've known for centuries between the male and female divide.
Mm. So the discrimination ombudsman in Sweden stated that nobody suffered damage from the event's restrictions and imposed no penalties on the organisers. Does this response say anything about institutional attitudes toward gender and sexuality?
It actually does, in the sense that it was interesting, there was a complaint against it, but then the complaint was actually considered nil void by the legal framework in Sweden. And basically, it really suggests that, again, I think it comes back to, it's a very difficult issue to assess, that really there wasn't a major issue there in the first place, because sometimes it's not tangible. And also when women actually claim that they've actually been sexually harassed or et cetera, it's actually he stays versus she stays. So it's a very, very difficult area to actually define, really. So in some of the outcome from the festival, I'm not surprised that there wasn't any major outcome to say this is now law, that, you know, you can have female-only festivals or gender-specific festivals.
According to a YouGov study, 30% of women have been sexually assaulted or harassed at a music festival in Australia, here at home. Do you think we could expect a similar response here?
For to have a female-only festival,
yeah,
for example? I'm not surprised that, I mean, I'm not surprised there hasn't been those ideas at the forefront already, but maybe they were looking at Sweden. I mean, just briefly back to the Me Too, when the Sweden 2000 women signed the petition against, you know, sexual harassment and misogyny in the music industry in November, in December 2017, more than 400 women in the music industry in our country signed a form, like Tina Arena, etc., signed the form and said, we're actually not going to take this either. And they've actually, they started the hashtag called Me No More campaign, which is like a derivative of the Me Too campaign. And so there's work afoot to be put there that they're actually already doing. And there's the, and some of those people from the Me No More campaign, for example, Tina Arena is working with Tracy Spicer when they're looking at Australia Now campaign. So there is, there's a lot of research that needs to be done, and I think the Me Too has highlighted that, and I think the work at Sweden is very progressive. I'm not surprised by that. I'm also not surprised that maybe Iceland has already done this also, because they're very, I would classify them as a feminist music city, and they're very, they've got a young female prime minister. The wages in Iceland have to be equal. They cannot have this discrimination. I mean, the whole notion of discrimination is quite funny that's happened in Sweden with music, because women in the music industry, which you highlighted, in relation to sexual assault, etc., have been discriminated for a long time. I mean, you're talking about 30% with sexual assault in our local industry. Well, in our industry, only 30% of women have positions of power in the industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, we are marginalised and discriminated even in our positions of power. So how can we move forward and reassess the discrimination where already we are marginalised in positions of power?